Hey, welcome to our podcast again today. We want to thank you for taking time to join us and listening in as we answer your questions and as we endeavor to help you discover God's design for your life and your family. We do this in this format by answering your questions about marriage, family, parenting, God, the Bible, theology, whatever really you'd like to talk about. We'd love to converse with you. And so if you'll send us your questions, that'd be great. And then we make two promises when you send us your questions. Number one, we're going to give you complete anonymity. We won't tell who you are or where you're from. And then secondly, we will give you complete honesty. You know, our desire is to just be speaking the truth in love. We promise to try not to hurt your feelings, but we may every now and then bruise them just a little bit with being honest with you, but know that it's a desire to help you, not to hurt you in any way if that happens. So anyway, here's today's question. It came in. Do I have to pray for a wife, or I may say a spouse, maybe it's a husband, or does God pick the person? If you like a brother or sister in the church, how do you know that they are the right one? You know, this is an interesting question. We've had this a lot in our ministry. You know, how do we pick a mate? And it's a good question. You know, next to Jesus, who your spouse is probably the next most important decision you could ever make in your entire life. You know, again, the whole adage that behind every good man, there's an even better woman is really true in the sense of who we marry can make us or can break us. And so how do we choose? Is this completely up to God? Does God just choose and we kind of say, okay? Is it completely up to us? Do we get to go out there in our free will and just make the choice all on our own? And I want to say that in the Bible, it's really about both. It's about choosing wisely with the help of the Lord. He is going to lead you. He is going to guide you. He is going to direct you, but He is not going to choose for you. He's not going to make you marry a certain person. You know, when I was growing up as a teenager, because some of the teaching that I understood, I'm sure they didn't teach it this way on purpose, but that is the way I understood it. You know, I always felt like God was going to make you marry somebody you didn't like. You know, you're going to have to marry the proverbial ugly person, you know, as some kind of test of your faith and loyalty to the Lord. And, you know, and I used to pray, oh, God, please, you know, don't let me marry the ugly girl. Don't make me marry the ugly girl. And I'm so glad that I finally learned that God doesn't want to do that. God's not interested in you intentionally suffering when you can make a choice not to. Now, we don't have time to answer the question about should Christians suffer, because we will suffer in certain aspects, but not in this way. God doesn't want to make your marriage life hell on earth just to teach you something. He wants you to experience life in your marriage. Again, as we said in a previous podcast, He wants you to experience the sacrificial and life-giving love that it is to be one with someone like we are with Jesus and the church. And so how do we pick? I'm kind of rambling here. I'm sorry. So how do you pick, or who picks? You know, to address this, we have to first address this idea we have in our culture about a soulmate, that there is one person, the one, that is out there for you. And, you know, and in church circles, we say, you know, and if you marry the wrong one, you start this, you know, kind of cosmic celestial domino effect where you marry the wrong one, and then that causes that person to marry the wrong one, and then they marry the wrong one, and then they, and then they, and then off to the races we go, and hundreds of people down the chain, lives are wrecked and ruined because one person didn't listen accurately. You know, we just don't have that in Scripture. We don't have that image. What we have is an image of God leading people to make a choice. You can read Genesis, I believe it's chapter 24, and it's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And you see a great balance in this story, that here is Abraham wanting to choose a wife for his son, so he commissions his most faithful servant to go to a place where his family was from and choose from his family. Now, here's some interesting things. Number one, I think to pick a mate, we have to understand that this is not a solo event. We should not go off there by ourselves, pick someone on our own, then bring them home and say, okay, everybody, here he or she is, and we just got to accept it. Well, no, the Bible talks about how that in family, and especially in Christian family, it's a family endeavor. We work together as a family as our children choose their mates. Now, does that mean I, as a father, do I choose for my girls? Well, not necessarily, but they shouldn't be running out there just choosing on their own by themselves. There should always be wisdom and counsel. You know, the proverb says that through a multitude of counsel, we gain wisdom, we wage war, we have success. And so we need counsel in this area. You know, you need to bring the prospective boy or girl home and kind of let your family kick the tires a little bit. Check them out. Give you some advice. Let them speak into you what they see, the good, the bad, the ugly. Now, us as family, we need to be, you know, grace-filled and kind and generous with this. We don't need to just be looking and nitpicking every little thing, because there are no perfect people. Our sons and daughters will marry imperfect human beings. But what we need to see is we need to see people who are after God. And that's what we see in this story again. Abraham sends his servant home and says, pick from the family of faith, if you will. You know, if we're believers, we're wanting our children, and our children need to choose their mates from the household of faith. Again, in family, in a setting of counsel, and choosing someone who believes like we do, who has the values that we do, who lives by the standards that we do. Then as you read on through the story, the servant goes and he kind of does a proverbial, okay, Lord, here's the test. You know, I'm going to bring the camels up and the girl's going to come out and she'll give me a drink of water and she'll give all the camels a drink of water, which is a good principle, you know, that we need to encourage our young people to marry hardworking individuals. We don't want our sons to marry lazy women, and we don't want our women to marry lazy sons. We want them to be industrious and serving and hardworking, and that's the principle we see in that story as we're picking, because we want those hardworking individuals to take care of our sons or our daughters. And so there's the servant, and he sees Rebecca. She comes and she serves him. She serves all the animals. He goes to her house. She's open and has a hospitable heart, which is another principle we want to look for in people. You know, you don't want that selfish, self-centered person who just wants to hole up in the basement and play video games all day. You want someone who is hospitable, who is open to having their home open to guests. You know, the Bible actually says in Romans, I think it's around the 12th chapter, that as believers, we are to be lovers of strangers. That's the word, the definition of the word hospitality in the New Testament. We are to love people that we don't know, and we are to open our homes up to people. It says in Hebrews that when we open our homes up, we don't know. Sometimes we actually entertain celestial beings, angels who come on behalf of the Lord, and we minister to people in that way. And so hospitality needs to be a key part of this person as well. But it goes on, and you read through the story in Genesis 24, and there's an exchange back and forth again. Rebecca's family's involved in this. They're giving her counsel. They're talking it over with Abraham's servant. But there's some key stuff towards the end of the chapter, because there comes a point where the family of Rebecca and Abraham's servant look at the young bride-to-be, and they ask her, do you choose this young man? Do you pick him? And she says, yes, even though she had never seen him, even though she had never met him, she made a choice. Yes, I choose him. I choose her. You know, the key to picking a mate is, as we've looked real rapidly and briefly through this story, is, you know, are you involving wisdom and counsel from your family or trusted spiritual leaders in your life? Are you looking for someone who believes like you and lives like you and has your values? Are you looking for someone who's hardworking and hospitable and has a good personality and openness to them? You're not looking for someone who is a recluse or who is locking themselves away from the world. And then, but finally, no matter what it is, are you choosing that person? You know, many times we ask when it comes to picking a mate, is this the person who will meet my needs? And that is a dangerous question to ask when you're picking a mate, because our needs will change. And sometimes they will not be able to fulfill certain needs in our life because only God can. The better question to ask is this the person I'm willing to lay my life down for? Is this the person I'm willing to give up my wants, my desires, my plans, my goals? Am I willing, again, to live for this person and give them my life? See, that's a better question. How do we pick a mate? Is this a person you're willing to lay your life down for? You're willing to live for them, to see them succeed, to see them reach their dreams, to see them stand on your shoulders and gain what is in their heart. And they're doing the same thing for you. Because that's what Isaac and Rebekah did for each other. They chose each other. They picked each other. And all throughout Scripture, you see that over and over again, that marriages, couples who picked and chose, again, Jesus's parents. You know, Joseph and Maria, you know, a very challenging time. Here's Maria, pregnant, saying it's from God. It looks bad on the outside. And Joseph hears from the Lord and says, choose her. And then he chooses her. See, you see how this, again, I hope you see how this works together. God is leading us. God is guiding us, just like he guided Abraham's servant, just like he guided Joseph. But there comes a point where we then choose the person that's in front of us. We choose them. We say, out of all the people in all the world, I choose to lay down my life and live for you. See, that's how we know we're picking a good mate. All right. Well, as always here, we don't like to say goodbye. We just say see you later. Please do subscribe to the blog and podcast. It's down at the bottom. And keep sending us your questions. Just fill out the form and we'll let you know we got them and let you know when we're going to answer them. And until next time, have a great day and know that God has a great design for your life and family.